We've just caught up with soloist Daniil Trifonov. Bravo, that was wonderful.
It was really a great honor for me to play the first concert in the subscription series of Philadelphia Orchestra, and I'm very happy that we just recently recorded Rachmaninoff Rhapsody and Team of Paganini, and just a few months later, we're playing again live.
Well, this piece, the Rachmaninoff's Fourth Piano Concerto, seems to require so much strength and stamina and yet tenderness and delicacy. When did you first hear this piece?
Well, the first time was probably when I heard the recording of Michelangelo, and of course the recording of Rachmaninoff himself with the same orchestra.
How do you approach a piece like this where you're playing it with the Philadelphia Orchestra? Rachmaninoff wrote it for the Philadelphia Orchestra and played it with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Does that influence how you approach it?
Well, actually, this is probably the most difficult concerto of Rachmaninoff in terms of ensemble. It's very virtuosically written for the orchestra. And of course, the Philadelphia Orchestra had a lot of experience with this piece, and they recorded it with Rachmaninoff. So in a way, it's an incredibly lucky opportunity to be playing with them that piece, because they really know every corner of that work.
And it changes themes so quickly, and it changes from very vigorous to very delicate. When you practice that by itself and then play it with the orchestra, does it get complicated?
Well, in general, as the atmosphere base for that piece, well, we have to remember that it is dedicated to Nikolai Metner, another great Russian composer, who is mainly famous for his miniatures for piano called Fairy Tales. And in a way, this fairy tale world of Russian folk fairy tales is present in this piece as well, with a lot of changing of characters, of scenes, and very mysterious nature, like in a forest, or there is always some magic happening, like in fairy tales. And he dedicated it to Metner, for whom the fairy tale was a calling card.
That's so interesting. So when you're playing it, are you imagining the different characters?
Well, there can be many different ideas for the character, but in many places, there is a certain spirit which you can associate with something.
Did you have a particularly favorite part of it?
I would say that one of the most incredible moments for me is the final movement. It is written, first of all, in a very interesting shape. There is not really a recapitulation. It starts as if it is a sonata allegro movement, but then it travels further and further and further, and then, of course, he was reworking on it. He had several editions, and we're playing the final edition of it.
Now, you mentioned, as you said, you've just recently recorded Rachmaninoff's Variations with the Philadelphia Orchestra. The variations on the theme of Paganini are very well known. The variations on the theme of Chopin and Corelli are less well known. Can you talk about that experience?
Well, for Rachmaninoff, genre variations in general was very, very important one, and he was coming back to it throughout all his life. The earliest variations he wrote are in his trio, Elegiac Trio number 2, the second movement. It's written in the form of variations, and it's also quite long. It's, if you do all the repeats, it's about 20 minutes of great music. But of course, the way he treated the genre also developed and changed over time. Variations of Chopin were, in a way, closer to the Elegiac Trio in terms of a broadness of variations themselves. Corelli and Paganini were both much more concentrated in its development. So yeah, there was the idea to record all the variations of Rachmaninoff, and I was really happy to work with Philadelphia Orchestra on Rhapsody.
You've been playing the piano for a very long time, since you were about 5, and you've been playing in concert since you were about 8 years old. And I understand you really knew you wanted to play when you couldn't play for 3 weeks when you were about 13.
Yes, I was going to the lesson, piano lesson, and it was winter and very slippery. So on the slippery ice, I fell down and broke my left arm. And for 3 weeks, I couldn't play. And it was, of course, quite a difficult time because I realized that something very important is missing, but I also, of course, I would listen, I would spend that time listening to more music. I was very happy when it was over and then I could play again. No, not because I didn't like listening to music.
Well, that's wonderful that you kind of discovered, and I suppose you came to the piano with a greater focus, perhaps? Or are you just happy to be there?
Of course, in the beginning it was difficult because after the hand being in a static position, not played for 3 weeks, of course, in the beginning I couldn't play much. I would play 10 minutes and then my hand would get tired. And so over a couple of weeks, it really regained. So it was also a challenge to bring back to the shape.
Well, congratulations on all of your successes since you won the Tchaikovsky competition in 2011 when you were about 20 years old. Your Carnegie Hall recital debut 2 years later won the Echo Classic Award and a Grammy nomination. You play all over the world in recitals and with orchestras. With so much activity, do you set a particular path for yourself in terms of what repertoire you take on? You're playing a lot of Rachmaninoff this season.
Yes, of course. I would say that every season is concentrated on a different program. I also have, of course, recital programs. And each year I try to do a new repertoire, both in terms of concerti and recitals. And of course, the piano literature is incredibly vast. And there are so many great works which probably one lifetime is not enough to play them all. But in addition, the repertoire is now the main focus for me. Of course, there are also some other activities. For example, I also compose. And from time to time, when I have free time, I also try to dedicate some time for it too.
I've heard you say that you like to compose because composing influences, at least in part, your piano playing.
It's also piano playing might influence composing, but of course, composition is very particular. It requires a very particular state of mind and a certain moment of not disturbances.
You have to be in a different zone.
Yeah. It requires a very particular atmosphere. But when you start working on the new piece of our composers, I believe it helps with a focus on details, on the scene, the certain relations between cause and effect of what is this harmony, how the work is built, how it is interwoven.
So when you play Rachmaninoff's fourth piano concerto, are you thinking about him composing it?
Of course, when you are learning it, yes. That is part of the practicing. But then, of course, when you play on stage, where you just should be in love with this amazing music.
Well, you seem definitely in love with this amazing music. There's one other thing I wanted to ask you. You've talked about exploring the piano literature as the work of a lifetime. And is exploring the piano itself something that you do as well? I saw in a film clip you talking about air playing the piano. Mm-hmm. People talk about air playing the guitar, but mm-hmm. I hadn't actually heard people talk about air playing the piano, and you also play underwater.
Yeah, there is also water playing the piano. But that is for a certain specific type of music, which requires more power in the shoulders. That is just some technical exercise, which is like stretching or yoga.
So you do yoga?
From time to time, not regularly. It's important to keep the upper back and shoulders flexible because during long practicing hours, many pianists have certain physical restriction because of posture. And so it's important to always take care of neck, shoulders, and upper back.
So I saw this film clip of you playing the piano, lying on your back on the piano bench.
That was one of another practicing experiments. But in general, you always find some new ways to practice. It also can come from the piano itself because, you know, in every new place, there is a new piano and you have to adapt to it very quickly. And sometimes you just come up with idea which might help you to adapt better to that piano. And that's how most of those practicing ideas are coming from.
Wow.
And also during when I was a student at Cleveland Institute of Music, I tried to practice in different pianos throughout the day so I could train that, adapt to new touch, to new sonorities more quickly.
So how are you finding this experience playing again with the Philadelphia Orchestra, Rachmaninoff's fourth piano concerto with this piano.
Well, it's a really great occasion for me, and I'm very happy to be here to play with Maestro Yannick Nizets again and Philadelphia Orchestra.
Can I ask you one more question I thought of? Do you like to take pictures? I saw a film of you taking, maybe it was just for the film, you were taking snapshots.
Sometimes when, especially when the schedule is not too intense, when I have more time for hiking and exploring the surroundings, then of course it's, yeah.
I was just thinking about the relationship between visual beauty. I understand that you've talked about music as a search for beauty, or someone described your musical search for beauty. And I thought, when I saw you also taking photographs, I thought, well, is there a connection between the visual search and the musical search?
Well, I would say that music encompasses all kinds of arts, not only the photography. I mean, in terms of visual, not only visual arts, but it also involves literature as well. And each could contribute in a good way to exploring music as well. Because music has elements of all of them.
Because music is about life.
Yeah. not only necessarily. But music can be about... music can involve elements both of... it has the both of poetry and... there can be many connections.
So my last question, what does music mean to you?
Well, maybe first of all, sharing it with audience, the ability to share it with people.
Great. Thank you so much, Daniil Trifonov.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.